Welcome back to the Missouri Chamber Capital Chat. I am your host, Philip Arnzen, and I'm joined by my colleagues, Heidi Geisbühler-Sutherland
Good morning.
and Kara Korchas.
Hi.
So we have entered the exciting time of the year of legislative pre-filing. And as a quick refresher on that, so session starts on Wednesday, January 3rd, but legislators every year are allowed to file bills starting on December 1st. And so we have about 1,000 bills that were filed so far. Most of that does occur on the actual 1st, but folks can come in anytime in December and file bills. So overall, a lot of similar bills to last year. Some of them have some slight changes, but a lot of the issues are the same that we're going to be dealing with. As we kind of talked to a lot of the legislators over the interim for this upcoming session, the general theme was there was going to be a lot of dysfunction, going to be a lot of sometimes infighting within caucuses, and then also the normal partisan fighting back and forth. So as we move into this session, we are, I guess, a little bit cautious might be the right word on what we're expecting to get done. But as always, we're going to work as hard as we can to try to get things across the finish line.
I will say, whenever we talk with legislators, we talk with other lobbyists, we even talk with just people who are reading the news and seeing reports about what's going on. They are not excited about next year. And I've got to say, for it being an election year, I would probably agree. I am also not looking forward to all of the debate that's going to happen and a lot of people trying to get sound bites for their respective campaign.
Yeah, I think what I've heard from numerous people, the line is 2024, it's going to be a circus. And as Heidi said, a lot of people will be looking to grandstand to get some bites to be posted on social media or Twitter. But I think our position always is going to remain the same, that we want policies that move Missouri forward. And we support legislators who do what's best for the state to move Missouri forward, to grow our economy and create jobs. So that is going to be our focus. We will try to, keep our heads down when a lot of this grandstanding is happening and go to work and try to get bills that not only promote business, but also hopefully defeat some really bad ones that would ultimately hurt business as well.
Election years are always interesting. This year is going to be especially interesting because we have half the Senate seats that are up, which is normal, and then all of the House seats. But we also have all but one statewide office. And we have numerous state senators that are also running for statewide office. In many cases, there are state senators that are in primaries running against one another. And so that will create some interesting dynamics going into this session. However, as Karen mentioned, our policies and priorities are going to be the same. So we're going to continue to have similar priorities that we didn't get done last year that we're going to be working on this year. Again, one of our top priorities that we've been going around the state, hosting roundtables in various regions, is related to childcare and trying to address that issue that is a top priority amongst our members. And then also, I'm sure pretty much everybody listening either personally has dealt with childcare issues or knows somebody that has had issues finding childcare.
Yep, and those bills have been pre-filed again by Senator Lauren Arthur and Representative Brenda Shields. And just as a refresher for everyone, this creates three different new tax credits that will go a long way in both bolstering and increasing our childcare infrastructure in the state and capacity that goes along with that, as well as helping businesses recruit and retain employees by offering childcare benefits. There are three different tax credits, and they each work a little bit differently. Two will be housed under Department of Economic Development, and those would be the types of tax credits that businesses would be applying for. And then the third will be housed under the Office of Childhood, and those are specific for childcare providers. This is something we hear time and time again from businesses across the state. They need workers, and we need to be doing everything we can to remove barriers to entry into the workforce. And one such barrier is childcare. Not only do we not have enough childcare providers in the state, it's really expensive and it's hard for parents, to make that decision. Is it going to be economically worth it for me to go to work? Or does it maybe make more sense to stay home? And this is not just an issue for working parents. This is an economic issue that everyone in the state should care about. We know we lose $1.35 billion a year annually because of childcare issues. And that's things like, you know, loss of tax revenue. When you can't work, you don't earn income, you don't pay taxes. And then also in terms of productivity for businesses as well. And so this is something that is super important. We know that if we're able to pass this package, we will be a shining star among all the states. But also, we're not the only state trying to address this right now. And so we want to make sure that Missouri is out in front of this issue to support working parents, to support businesses, and ultimately chip away at this crisis that we are in right now.
We just want people to know that this is a real issue, and businesses recognize it across the state, and people with kids definitely recognize it across the state as they're trying to find people who can offer safe care for their kids for an affordable price.
Absolutely. And we're not requiring everyone, every single person with kids under six to go to work with this. We're just helping the ones who want to work by hopefully removing some barriers and hopefully addressing our childcare shortage by increasing capacity and driving new investment. And that's the key word, new investment.
You know, that's good to hear that we're still focusing on the childcare issue, and we are going to continue to try to address the issue. We know that we get this package done, that's going to be a step forward. We're still going to have other things we need to do, but that's going to hopefully create a big incentive for investment and increase the supply of childcare providers that we have in our state. You know, some other issues we're going to be working on this year, not as fun. We've kind of labeled it as the let business decide category, which is really just opposing a lot of those bills that want to mandate what business policies are. And they've ranged from things such as vaccine mandates to things like gold and silver to DEI, ESG. A lot of those bills have been filed. Another one that we have this year is the issue you probably heard about in the news is who is able to buy farmland in Missouri. You know, that got a lot of attention in some recent elections. And our position is, look, we want to make sure Missouri is open for business, and we want to make sure that Missouri is a state that welcomes investment. And some versions of those bills would go so far as to not allow any foreign citizen to buy land. Let's say you have somebody that is, you know, a doctor that wants to come work at a Missouri hospital, but oh wait, they're not able to buy a house in Missouri. And so that's really not going to be helpful for attracting talent and attracting a workforce. So we're going to continue to monitor those and try to make sure that Missouri is an inviting state for folks to come work at and also for business investment. Another area that we are going to continue to oppose legislation on is related to diversity, equity, and inclusion, otherwise known as DEI, and environmental social governance, otherwise known as ESG. A lot of businesses have policies related to DEI and ESG. Sometimes it is because of some federal requirements. Other times there's pressure from shareholders and their investors. And then also it can also be used as a workforce and recruitment tool by saying you have a good DEI policy or ESG policy. And we believe that every company should be able to make that decision on their own. If folks don't like their policy, then do business elsewhere. We've seen a lot of those, I guess, boycotts, for lack of a better term, because people don't like businesses' policies. And as a free market economy, we think that a consumer should be able to choose where they go, and we shouldn't have the government intervening with the policies and how a business is run.
Absolutely. And just to remind everyone too, you know, our position is let business decide. We generally oppose any requirements to have these types of policies. And then we're also going to oppose any bans on having policies. You know, a business owner's ability to make his or her own decision, how they see best works in their workplace, is a bedrock of our free enterprise system. And so we are always going to oppose governmental overreach into these programs.
Yeah. And then the ESG and DEI deals more with the business policy, but then we have kind of on the other end of just mandating what businesses do. And one of those is our favorite bill that we dealt with last year, which would require that all private entities and government entities accept gold and silver as payment. So I'm sure we've all been, you know, waiting in line to check out at the grocery store or at Walmart, and somebody waits until the very end to fill out their check. Well, imagine that. But instead of filling out a check, they're like taking out a gold bar and, like, you know, shaving flakes of gold off of it. Then the person has to call somebody over to make sure that it's actual gold or silver. And then they have to measure it and do the purity. That is just insanity in our opinion. And we think businesses should be able to determine how they accept payment. If they only want to accept digital or if they only want to accept cash, we think that is up to them to decide. The state shouldn't be mandating it.
a business only accepting one kind of tender, you can choose not to go there.
Exactly. Another mandate we have, this one we had a lot of, I don't really know if excitement is the right word, but the labeling bill, and what that would do is require any product with genetic material, so any food, wood product, you know, organic product that's sold in Missouri would have to have a label that says this could potentially alter your DNA, which is problematic on many levels, the least of which is if you're doing business in all 50 states, you would have to single out Missouri as, oh, I need to make sure I put a label on something before I send it there. Many businesses would probably choose to just not do business in Missouri, which is going to limit the supply of goods and services, and then most likely increase prices on our consumers. The other issue in the legislation is it opens up a massive amount of liability for companies that don't follow the law to the T, which we obviously have a problem with because one of our big topics is tort reform. So we're not excited to see the labeling bill coming back this session. But again, we'll continue to fight against all of these new business mandates and continue to let business decide.
We've also got several bills this year that deal with healthcare and insurance. At the Chamber, our policy on healthcare is fairly broad. We support increasing access to healthcare for people around the state. We know that rural areas in particular have been hit really hard with hospital closures, so we're always happy and looking for ways to assist hospitals with keeping their facilities open in rural and underserved areas. That way, employees could get healthcare, and then that also helps the businesses that they work for. So there are a lot of scope of practice related bills this year. We sort of let those different specialties take the lead on those, of course, but we are supportive of letting everyone practice to the full extent of their training. That way we get more healthcare providers out there who can offer more services to people around the state. And then we've also seen this year a lot of insurance mandates. So those would require health insurance companies to cover a variety of different medical services. We've got things like prescription drug coverage, things like genetic screening for certain conditions. And while those are all really good services, whenever we require insurance companies to cover particular services like that, the cost often ends up getting passed down to the consumer. So those are always interesting hearings. We'll be engaged with those. And that'll really take up probably a lot of the time on insurance. And then last, with relation to healthcare, we've got the Federal Reimbursement Allowance Program. That is needing to be reauthorized this year, and that program is essential to keep our Medicaid program functional in the state. That is funds that come from hospitals, and then we get a federal match in funding from that, and that helps keep our state revenue chugging along.
And that is an issue that is of utmost importance to get passed. If essentially this wouldn't get done, it could technically bankrupt the state. And so this is a really important issue that hopefully should not be politicized. I mean, that's our goal, but we also know the reality of the type of year that we're in. But we will be strongly supporting the reauthorization of the FRA.
Yes. The last time the FRA was up for reauthorization, a lot of people still probably have some PTSD related to that process. I know I do. They couldn't get it done during the regular session, and we actually had to have a special session to get the reauthorization passed. So really crossing our fingers that we don't run into a situation like that again this year.
Another big topic we will be continuing our work on is public safety. We know that rising crime is an economic development deterrent in our state. And so this is an issue that our members feel really strongly about. We pull business leaders every single year on the issues that they are most concerned with. And public safety continues to pop every single year among those at the top of the list of concerns from business leaders. So this year, I know we're going to be continuing to advocate for policies that increase penalties on repeat violent offenders. That was actually passed last year in a bigger piece of legislation that ended up getting vetoed over some technical issues. So I know that will be another big push this year. It's a small percentage actually who commit the vast majority of crime in the state. So just making sure that, you know, the worst of the worst offenders are staying locked up and not committing more crime on our streets. Also, there will be another push this year to pass Blair's Law. I know that was an issue that got a lot of bipartisan support, but also got vetoed in that bigger legislative package that had some technical issues, not because there wasn't support, but just because there were some technical issues in that bill. This bill increases penalties for reckless celebratory gunfire. I know that will be another push this year that gets bipartisan support that we will also be backing. And then lastly, We know that Missouri loses out on hundreds of millions of dollars annually due to retail theft. And so there will be, I believe, a package this year specifically targeting combating retail theft and obviously the economic losses that go along with that. And that's something that we are hearing about a lot from our retail type of members. This is a big issue, and this is something we are for sure going to be strongly supporting and walking the halls in the Capitol for this year.
Yeah, when it comes to retail theft, there's three kind of types of retail theft. One, you have just, you know, the individual that goes in, walks into a store, and then, you know, steals a few things walking out. Then the next type of retail theft you have is just kind of a few people get together and they're slightly organized, but they come up with a plan and go in and then steal some stuff from stores. And then another one that's really started to become more prevalent recently is organized crime is getting involved in retail theft. And that's when you get into the sometimes even international or multi-state, and they're very sophisticated and could potentially steal, you know, hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars in products every year. And so a lot of this new legislation is really trying to go after kind of the last two of the few people that are somewhat organized, and then also the truly organized crime that's committing retail theft. And so those have become much more prevalent in the last few years.
Also, one of our priorities as we look to workplace safety, along with public safety, is the ability of employers to do drug testing in their workplaces. With the passage of Amendment 3, there's been a little bit of confusion among employers about whether they can still maintain drug-free workplace policies. And so there are extra protections, of course, for people who use medical marijuana and who have cards for that. But whenever we're looking at recreational marijuana, there has been some confusion about whether or not workplaces can even test for drugs at all, which they still can, or whether they can test for marijuana with regard to looking at workers' compensation. And so we've got a bill that we're putting out there that will address allowing workers to be tested for marijuana for workers' compensation purposes. So we're also looking this year at some tort reform bills. We know last year, tort reform sort of hit a few snags as far as debate goes. We've got a lot of opponents on this issue, but it's really important for the Missouri Chamber to work on tort reform issues because businesses really find that the legal system currently in Missouri is often biased against the defendant, which is often a business. So what we're looking at this year, we are going to see some bills on reducing the statute of limitations in Missouri. In 47 other states, it is 2 to 3 years. In Missouri, it's currently 5 years. So we want to get that reduced. We'll also have a bill that would address foreign legal funding. This is becoming a much larger issue on a national scale, but also in Missouri, whenever we see foreign entities coming in and funding cases that are against businesses. And in some cases, this can be foreign companies that are trying to get a leg up over US companies, so they fund litigation against those companies. So we've got some bills that would help sort of clarify that process and add a little bit of transparency to that process so you can see who exactly is involved in which lawsuit. And that's a priority of the US Chamber as well. And lastly, we've got a bill that would reduce liability for employers who want to hire people who have been involved in the justice system. We know that people coming out of incarceration often find it difficult to find a job just because of their criminal history. And so this gives employers a little bit of cover whenever employers want to extend jobs to those people and they're a little bit worried about their own liability. So it helps allow them to have a little bit more freedom and feel a little bit more secure hiring people who have been involved in the justice system.
That's great, Heidi, especially because we know the most significant predictor of recidivism is employment. So the more people we can help get a job coming out of the system, the less likely they are to go back to a life of crime.
Yep. And one thing we did last year is we worked closely with Department of Corrections to make some changes. So we'd heard from some businesses and some of our members that one of the issues of hiring somebody that's been involved in the justice system is sometimes they don't even have the basic documents needed, like a government issued ID or a birth certificate. And so we worked with Department of Corrections, and now they're working to implement a plan that would get folks the government issued ID and a birth certificate so that when they leave, they're able to provide that when they're seeking work. Because even if business wanted to hire somebody, if they don't have that basic documentation, they are not able to hire them. There has been some success in the last year on that. And so we're looking forward to continuing to move the needle on that issue. Another thing, speaking of successes, we had the massive investment in I-70 and other infrastructure around the state in the last couple of years. And so there have been some bills filed this year to try to repeal the fuel tax, which is hundreds of millions of dollars a year towards infrastructure. And we've seen a lot of success that MoDOT has been doing with building new bridges, rehabbing bridges, and then also expanding highways around the state. And so we want to make sure they can continue to do that. So we're going to oppose any efforts to repeal the fuel tax and limit that investment in infrastructure. Another issue that's gotten some attention in the last couple of weeks, every year, the governor and then the House Budget Chair and Senate Appropriations Chair get together and determine what they call the consensus revenue estimate, which is what they believe is going to be the amount of revenue that's coming in, and then they're going to budget based off of that. They announced that their estimate this year was a 0.2% increase in general revenue, which is basically flat. This is much different than the previous 2 years, where we saw a pretty big increase in general revenue. A lot of that was one-time revenue from things like capital gains. And then also there was a large influx of federal money. We're not seeing much federal money coming into the state, or not a big increase at this point, because a lot of that was ARPA and CARES Act funding. And so that has already been appropriated and going to projects around the state. So it's going to be a challenging budget year. And for a lot of folks in the Capitol, it's going to be very different than what they're used to seeing, because it is going to have, we're going to have to be tightening our belt and really determining what is the priority of the state when it comes to the budget.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be a different time, you know, where lately it's been raining down money from the federal government. And as that money runs out, and because it's obviously there's some deadlines to that, it's going to be different times. Not everyone is going to get their huge project funded. I know that we have an ask in there, and that is to fund the upskill credential program that was put into law last year through the passage of that bill that was sponsored by Representative Mike Henderson and handled in the Senate by Senator Carla Esslinger. This is a quick refresher. This is a program that provides a competitive grant reimbursement for businesses who help upskill their employees or prospective employees with short-term certifications or credentials. These are things like cybersecurity certifications or manufacturing technology certifications, healthcare credentials and certifications, things that are vitally needed. And this is about growing your own talent from within. And we don't have millions of new people moving into Missouri, so we need to make the most use of everyone who's in our workforce now by upskilling them. And that program was put into law last year, but it was subject to appropriation. And so this is the first year that we are going in with an appropriation ask of $6 million to fully fund it, because we are getting calls weekly from businesses saying, when is this program in effect? When can we take advantage of it? Because this is going to significantly help me upskill my workforce. And businesses will have significant skin in the game. What their match or what money they're putting in as part of the competitive grant criteria that will be evaluated. So I just know this program is going to be super popular. And so we're really hoping that the $6 million will be appropriated for it this year.
Another area of the budget we're going to be looking at is on transportation funding. So we had $2.8 billion to expand I-70 to six lanes all the way across the state, and then another $20 million to do the environmental impact study for I-44. And then there was also hundreds of millions of other dollars spread across the state for low volume roads, to rehab bridges, for economic development projects, you know, that were infrastructure related. So we're really going to make sure that those are protected and that folks aren't trying to take money or cut the funding to those. So we're going to keep a very close eye and really make sure that all of those investments in the last couple of years stay in there so that we can look forward to the future in our state. And also on those investments is broadband funding. The feds announced close to $2 billion in funding to expand broadband. And then the state allocated, I believe, another $300 million for broadband. So we're also going to watch that and make sure that those funds are still available and that we can really expand broadband around the state. So that's just kind of the short summary of what we're expecting next session. Obviously, week to week, things are going to be very different. Every session is kind of its own animal. Like, the priorities change weekly, and then also every session has totally different priorities. And many times it's unpredictable, and it's hard to determine what really is going to be the focus. So whenever it starts on January 3rd, we will make sure to keep you updated and have regular podcasts and talk about the issues that are moving and issues that are not moving. And then also, as we get ready for session, we have our Capitol Insight, which is our annual pre-session conference. That will be on Tuesday, January 2nd, from 1 to 4:30 at the Courtyard by Marriott. And we will have numerous legislators there. We will also have some attorneys there to talk about IP reform, and then also some of the court rulings that can impact session and impact legislation. So we'll look forward to seeing you there. If you would like to register.
We'll have many more sessions than that too. We should add, we have a great legislative leadership panel that is always every year has a lot of fireworks as they speak really candidly. So you don't want to miss it.
No, it's always a great time. And we also have a networking reception from 4:30 to 5:30 as well. So if you're interested, go to the Missouri Chamber website and go to events, and you will be able to register, and make sure to do it quickly because there are limited spots and they fill up pretty quickly.
And if you've listened to this podcast and you're feeling a little bit down and a little bit pessimistic, it's not all doom and gloom. I know that we are trying to be realistic about next session, and it will be a rough session in an election year. We know that for sure, but bills will still get passed. There have been many years where we think we're going into it and everything is going to fall apart and there will be these nuclear eruptions. But every year, bills still get across the finish line. So even though we've tried to be realistic and tried to measure people's expectations a little bit, we're still really optimistic that things will get done and that things will get accomplished and that we'll still get some of our priorities through the process. So we're looking forward to 2024. I think it'll still be a successful year for us.
And we should thank too, I know we have quite a few legislators who listen to our podcasts, but also thank our business champions who continue to stand with us session after session to fight against business mandates and then to also pass good policy that grows our economy and creates jobs. So we are happy to stand and partner with our business champions in the legislature every year, and especially in 2024. I'm sure you will be seeing our faces a lot in your offices.
We're looking forward to it, and we would like to thank everybody for listening, and we will have a new podcast here in a few weeks.